Grace and mercy be to you from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this morning find you well and joyful as we celebrate the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's been a long spring winter already, as it darkens the burdensome year, and all the days have begun to Christmas is a highlight in dark days, which is why people keep saying that we need to have more of the Christmas spirit throughout the year. You know what they mean by that, I trust. Right around the holidays, people tend to be warmer. They tend to be kinder and friendlier than usual. They might be a little bit more outgoing and sociable. They're more likely to assume that the best about others
and put up with their faults more readily, except when it involves, of course, today, COVID. They're certainly more charitable and perhaps looking to be more helpful to others who are in need. That's sort of the Christmas spirit we hear about, right? Against the backdrop of winter cold and darkness, plus COVID restrictions and headaches, there's supposed to be a good feeling from warmth, family, friends, charity, gifts, unexpected kindnesses, and more. We could say that for a little while, people try to behave a little bit better than they usually do. Or we could say that for a little while, people tend to obey the laws of God a little bit more actively. Instead of just trying not to harm others, they actually make more of an effort to help their neighbors. I'm all for that. I'm all for more love, charity, kindness, and following God's word. I'm all for people helping people. In other words, I'm all for the Christmas spirit, and I would like to see it extended throughout the next 11 months. The question, of course, is how? This appears to stump a lot of people today. The answer, however, is quite simple. If you desire such kindness to extend throughout the year, the answer is not the spirit of Christmas. The answer is the body of Christmas. By the body of Christmas, I don't mean what you have fashioned of yourself by all those extra calories that you've consumed in various cheesecakes, meats, cookies, cakes, fudge, cocktails, and even that ghastly eggnog stuff and fruitcake that some of you claim to really enjoy. When I speak of the body of Christmas, I'm speaking instead of the little baby, that baby that's wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. Jesus has a body. The Word has become flesh. The Almighty Eternal Son of God now has a birthday and fingers and toes and all such things. Or to put it another way, the Son of God, who has been spirit from eternity, now also has a body and soul. In a sense, kind of like you. This isn't for his sake. It's all for you. It's not as if Jesus is floating around heaven from eternity, frustrated and downcast because he can't wear yoga pants. He takes on a body because everybody has a body. You have a body, and your bodies all need help. The human body is a fascinating thing, and the longer I remain alive, the more amazed I am that the body is so delicate and yet so sturdy, so fragile and yet so durable. The psalmist says a profound thing when he says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And even if your body has some significant problems, it's still sustaining life. And what that body can do, you can walk, you can run, you can see and smell, hold hands and hold babies, sing songs, make funny popping sounds with your fingers, and so much more. Your body comes with a mind. Your brain isn't just a warm lump of matter that has random electrical impulses bouncing around in it. You can think and form thoughts. You can come up with great ideas and invent and imagine creative things. You can set goals, make plans, and maybe write some poetry or songs or whatever. You can think of all sorts of ways to help people around you. And then you can tell your body to get busy and do them. Between mind and body, you've also got emotions going. A whole range of feelings like happiness, affection, contentment, appreciation for beauty, joy, peace, and so many more things. But wait, there's more. You're a body with a mind, but you're even more than that. You're enlivened with a spirit. And to top things off, you've got a goal. You're designed not just for interaction with the other people around you, but with God. Not just for a brief span of days in this world, but for all eternity. That's pretty impressive. You, my friends, are quite the package. And according to original specifications, you're designed to show the spirit of Christmas to one another, not just for a few weeks in December, but for the entire year and forever. But as I've said, your body needs help, as does your mind and soul and your spirits. As delicate and intricate as the body is, there's a host of things that can go wrong with it, and it's hard to be feeling the spirit of Christmas when you're suffering from arthritis, insomnia, diabetes, wounds that won't heal, COPD, cancer, skin disorders, joint pain, migraines, multiple sclerosis, anemia, hearing loss, dimming vision, or maybe even that weird virus that we have this year, COVID. That mind of yours needs help as well. On the one hand, there's the anxiety, the worry, the depression, forgetfulness, maybe more serious mental illness. But worse than that, you're using your mind for less than salutary things. Rather than enjoy contentment, you envy others and covet more. Rather than appreciate beauty, you lust and think degrading thoughts. Rather than work out a plan to help your neighbor, you kind of enjoy feeling just a little bit superior. And really, you waste an awful lot of thought thinking rather pointless thoughts. All of this means that your emotional life isn't all that great. Anger, disappointment, frustration, jealousy, discontent, and impatience come pretty easily in our lives. They just happen without effort. I mean, when was the last time you said, "I've got to work harder at being impatient, and I don't think I get disappointed easily enough"? All of this harms your spirit. Worse, it chokes and kills your soul. You might be quite the package, but with all that going on, you do still wonder why the spirit of Christmas is so difficult to maintain. That's why we're gathered here to talk about the body of Christmas. The joyous truth that the Word has become flesh, that Jesus is made man. When Jesus becomes flesh, he has a perfect body, not perfect as in man's idea. That goes on the front cover of a magazine next to the headline of how to scope the six-pack after too much Christmas cheer. His body is perfect according to God's design, meaning that it isn't corrupted by sin. There's no disease or disability about him. And were it not necessary for your salvation, there's no need for his body to die. When Jesus becomes flesh, he has a perfect mind. His thoughts are the thoughts of God. They are pure. They are holy. They don't shift to selfishness or figure how to justify sinful pleasures. He doesn't have the curse of sin that bends your thoughts and clogs your thinking. He thinks on holy things. Then he teaches holy things to others and does holy things in service to them. When Jesus becomes flesh, he knows the range of human emotion, but his anger is always righteous. His desire is always appropriate. His sadness is selfless. His peace is rooted in a clear conscience, and his joy is never in the misfortune of others. Perfectly holy in body and mind, in soul and spirit as well. My friends, for the spirit of Christmas to continue, you need a body like that. You need a body that is why Christ is born. He has become flesh to restore each and every one of you. Just like every healthy baby body, he grows up. As he goes about his ministry, he heals all sorts of people of all kinds of diseases and afflictions. He restores bodies and minds. He casts out demons, liberating souls where the spirit has departed and the body has died. He brings the dead back to life. He does all this on his way to the cross, carrying all of your sins, your iniquities, and infirmities up there with him. There, his soul is forsaken by his Father. His body dies. He gives up the spirit, but he does so in the confidence that on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. So he is, and so he lives. You need a body like that. Thus, Christmas. Christ becomes flesh to be that body for all of you. He lives the perfect life that you can't. He dies the death that you can't survive. Risen again, he says to you, I recreate you. I give you a perfect body, a flawless mind, the best of emotions, a vibrant soul, and a spirit that rejoices in God and all things good. He says this to you with simple words like, I forgive you. The gift is priceless. Bought by the blood of Christ. He has blood because he has become flesh, because he is born to be your Savior. None of this happens without Christmas, because he becomes flesh to save. The spirit of Christmas will always have a tough go in this world, but you have something better and far more lasting. You have the body of Christmas. You have Jesus, Jesus who became flesh, who died for you and rose again, who even gives you that same body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you have the body of Christ, you have the mind of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit to enliven your spirit and soul. And all of this is true because Christ the Savior is born. Amen. A blessed and merry Christmas to each and every one of you this Christmas day. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.